you born, man?
Huh? Where was I born? What are you, the governor of Arizona, man?
Hey, look, taco breath, read my lips. Where were you born?
I was born in East L.A., man. I was born in East L.A., what I
say. You were born in East L.A., were you?
I'm from East L.A.
Well, then I guess you can tell me who the new president of the United States is. What is his name?
What? The president?
Of the United States.
Oh, yeah. The president, the new guy, they just got elected. The black guy, the first black guy. He used to be Urkel on TV, that guy. Yeah, he's got a weird name. It's like a rock and a rock. A rock your mama. A rock your mama.
You're under arrest, boy. Come on, Pickle. You're coming downtown. Let's go.
Excited to be here. This is a big honor. I flunked everything in high school, so you can do it too.
Thank you. What's up, everybody? How are you? Fantastic. The other day I got into an argument with my girlfriend, right? She likes watching the Oprah Winfrey show, and I love to watch her watch the Oprah show. And then I wait for Oprah to say something that I don't agree with, and then I take it out on my girlfriend because I'm an asshole. So Oprah brings out this guest. She gives her this huge intro. She's been on this, she's been on that, and she does the most difficult job on the planet. She's the mother. So immediately I look at my girlfriend. I'm like, really? Being a mom is the most difficult job on the planet? How many mothers died on Ice Road Truckers last season? Any moms get washed overboard on Deadliest Catch? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but what would you rather have as a job? You want to scoop scallops off the bottom of the ocean, catching that lobster trap to the back of your head? Or do you want to hang in the sunshine with a couple of rugrats? You'd send them to bed anytime you want and some trumped up charges because you want to have a drink and watch The Price is Right? I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is the most difficult job. I mean, I thought roofing in the middle of July as a redhead, you know? I thought that was a difficult job. I really did. I thought it was difficult. But evidently, these mothers, they're bending over at the waist, putting DVDs into DVD players, going to war, pinned down by a sniper. What a joke! You ever burp a baby and forget to put that towel up there? There's another shirt you gotta wash. Oh, lift with your knees and put it in that machine that does it for you. Dude, any job you can do in your pajamas is not difficult. It isn't. I'm sure it's... Yeah, to hell with these mothers. Watching cartoons, taking naps. Look, I'm messing around, but, you know, come on. I know it's a difficult job, but the most difficult job on the whole planet... Remember when Saddam let the oil fields on fire and those poor bastards had to go put them out? 4,000 degrees, walking in with your little asbestos shield, just walking into flames. You want to do that or watch Bob the Builder again? I mean, be honest with yourself. I got a dog recently. I did. I went down to the pound. I got one of those free dogs. Yeah, that's how I say it. I don't say I rescued a dog. I hate when people say that. It's like totally obnoxious. It's complete exaggeration. She's a rescue. Yeah, I rescued her. Really? Did you pull her out of a burning building? Did you jump in a river with your clothes still on with no concern for your own safety? Or did you just go down to the pound and get a free dog? Isn't that what you did? Stop acting like you had to take out a couple of guards, crawl in on your elbows using hand signals. Dude, you ever go down to the pound? They're just giving them away. They don't even do a background check. You want them? Hey, get out of here. Who's next? You want a poodle? Come on, you got a perm. It'll be hilarious. Actually, my girlfriend got the dog when I was on the road. I was on the road, she got the dog. Classic girlfriend move, right? That's just a 10 to 15 year commitment. Why would you include me in that decision? What would I need to know? So we're Skyping. I thought she got one of those little shit dogs, you know? Like a Yorkshire Terrier or something you could punt across the room if it got out of line, right? Something you could take your day out on. You know what I'm saying? So we're Skyping. I go, let me see it. So she pans around, and I think I'm going to see, you know, some little chihuahua, whatever the hell those dogs are. I'm immediately staring at, like, this hellhound, this just massive dog. And it looks, I start freaking out. I'm like, is that a pit bull? Please tell me you didn't get a pit bull. She's like, it's not a pit bull. It's a mix. Mix with what? Another pit bull? Look at that thing. It's like it's been doing pull-ups its entire life. Its front paws were still taped up and shadow boxing. It's got a teardrop tattoo. It's a pit bull. What more do you need to see? Oh, it gets worse. Her and a friend actually didn't get it down at the pound. They found it by the Los Angeles River. Yeah, this thing was the real deal. She's sitting there going, it was out there for 10 days. Don't you think that's sad? No, it's scary. Because judging by its physique, it got plenty of protein over the last week and a half. It wasn't eating nuts and berries, all right? It was choking out joggers. It was twisting heads off of rabbits. You brought a murderer into the house. Don't you just rescue an alligator while you're at it? Stick it under the bed. Add to the excitement. You know what's great, though? I fell in love with the dog. Absolutely love this dog, and I'm totally sold on the breed. And I know a lot of people don't like pit bulls because they ate a couple of kids. I understand that. I'm telling you, you owe it to yourself at some point in your life to walk down the street with a pit bull. You got to do it. It's tremendous. People just get out of the way. 3-4 blocks away, they see me coming. They immediately start crossing the street. I love it. I feel like a king. I don't know why black people complain about that. I love having the whole side of the street to myself. It's awesome. Yeah. Black people have no idea how difficult it is as a white man to have to walk down the street every half a block, have frivolous conversations about the weather. Oh, I'm thinking it's gonna rain. Why? Why do we have to have this conversation? No, it's tremendous. I like the respect. Look at me. My whole life, I've looked like Ron Howard. Do you realize that? My whole life, I've been mugged repeatedly. I've never had any street cred whatsoever. The second they see this four-legged P90X body coming down the street, that's it. It's the best dog on the planet. You got to get a pit bull. I'm telling you, man, it's like a gun you can pet. Get two of them. Come down to you, just strapped. All of a sudden, there's no line at the ATM. You're like, it's just the whole world opens up for you. All right, let's wrap this up here. I had lunch the other day. I'm a big-time conspiracy theorist. I drive my girlfriend nuts, you know. I think they're about ready to microchip all of us. Yeah, they got this commercial down in the States, you know. You got that commercial up here for Duracell batteries? They're selling batteries, and the commercial is some woman can't find her kid in the park. That's how they're selling batteries. What the hell kind of way is that to sell batteries? Do you remember the old commercials? They just show some guy in a rainstorm, has a flat, pulls out a flashlight. Ah, thank God he had Duracell. You can see how wet I'm getting. That was it. Now they're showing this woman she can't find her kid in the park. She's sitting there going, Kevin? Kevin? Has anybody seen Kevin? Sitting there freaking out. Then she pulls out this little device. Beep, 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 beep. And there comes Kevin running out of the woods. And they're like, Duracell batteries. It's like, dude, the hell with the batteries. What was that thing she just took out of her pocket? How did Kevin know to come out of the woods? He didn't have an antenna. His sneakers weren't glowing. What the hell is in Kevin that's connected to that device? Don't just show me that like that's normal. Oh, yeah, robot kids. Yeah, hey, must go see mommy. You guys were awesome. Thank you so much.
Funny said, man.
All right, we'll be right back. So hold on.
Thrilled to see you guys, man.
And Tommy, what did you do?
I went to jail, man.
More after the break.
God, it's so nice to be here in Montreal.
Yeah.
So before the show, I was out in the audience asking a few questions. What do people really want to know about Cheech and Chong? I have a few questions for you guys, okay?
Okay, we're ready.
First one, it's kind of a stupid one. Did you guys smoke pot when you were shooting the movies?
No, not me. Not me.
No, they made us. No. We didn't want to, but they said, you have to smoke this. Well, okay. Yeah. But we didn't inhale.
No.
No.
Well, we did that, too. No, we did. We smoked a lot of pot, man. But we learned that you can't shoot a movie and smoke pot before you do anything.
Do the movie,
you
know? Yeah.
Yeah, because one time we were sitting in the car, you know, up in smoke, and we're waiting for the cue to come to drive across, you know, into camera view. And the guy says, we're rolling, and where is going?
So are we.
So are we. Because we burned up $10,000 worth of film before we realized, oh, that's our cue. Oh,
yeah, okay.
What else you want to know?
Okay, it looked like you guys had a blast doing the movies. So why did you break up?
We got too rich, I think.
No, that's true. We got rich, and I learned one thing. You can't make a rich Mexican do shit, boy. I said, Cheech. I told him, Cheech, we gotta work. He goes, I don't think so, man. I'm gonna stay here and do something for my people. Yeah, I'm gonna learn Spanish.
See.
Yeah. But you know what? It really isn't true, because after Cheech and Chong broke up, I mean, Cheech, you went on to do so many things. I mean, you did movies, the television shows, the animation. And Tommy, what did you do?
I went to jail, man. But the great thing about prison is that they made me take a drug education course. I ended up teaching it.
American dollars at work.
Yeah, they didn't know. They were teaching things like marijuana is a dangerous drug. And I had to tell them, man, marijuana is the friendliest drug you'll ever meet in your life. Man. It's the only drug I know where you take a hit, your first impulse is to give it to somebody. So it's a good, no, it's not bad. Just be careful when you smoke pot. Make sure you have a co-driver.
A co-driver?
When you're driving alone and you're high on pot, man, it's the weirdest thing. Like one time I got pulled over by a caution light. I sat there for a long time, dude. I had my license out, waiting, you know, looking in the mirrors and blinking. Finally, I forgot why I was stopping. I'm thinking, well, as long as I'm here, might as well fire one up. Here we go. So I'm smoking. Sure enough, the cops pull up. By that time, I thought I was watching television. Oh, good, cops is on. Then the cop looks at me and goes, hey, you, what are you stopping here for? I said, didn't you pull me over? He looked at me for a long time, man. And then he goes, did I?
I don't even smoke pot. This is totally wasted on me. I've totally forgot my set. Does anybody remember my set?
We smoked a lot of pot.
Our next comedian is from Nova Scotia, Jay Malone.
All right, how you guys doing, Montreal? Nice. It's fantastic. It's great to be here doing stand-up comedy at the big Just for Laughs festival, right? The pinnacle. And this is the best job in the world, by the way.
stand-up comedy. And one of the reasons is there's no job interview. Job interviews are terrible because they ask the dumbest questions I've ever heard in my entire life, right? Like, my favorite one is the job interview is, hey, so tell me, what are some of your weaknesses as an employee? What? What? Like, what do you think, I'm gonna slip up? Like, you don't get to ask me what my weaknesses are, right? You just have to hire me and find out for yourself. That's how this works. When you walk in on Monday morning and surprise, the fax machines are gone. That's how this is gonna break down, okay? Yeah. Then you gotta justify yourself to your boss going, I don't know, in his interview he said his weakness was pilfering, but I didn't know that meant stealing, you know? In my interview, I told you my weakness was vocabulary, so this isn't my fault at all, buddy. So, take no reasonability. So it's great to be here. This is actually my final month of freedom. I'm getting married next month. Yeah, that's happening. Yeah. No, she's not here. We don't have to pretend to be excited about this. I mean, I could be joking, right? You would never know that I was getting married, right? Because the guy gets nothing. We get nothing except the pent-up frustration and pressure of the engagement scenario, right? And then the chick gets to walk around with the ring, showing it off to her friends, and then they judge us based on the size of it. Like, it's a rip-off deal for guys. The only way you can tell a guy is getting married is, you know that twinkle, that little sparkle in his eye? It's dead now. It's gone. It's never coming back. Yeah. There's no eye drops or anything. Yeah. But it's so weird because I'm in a very like transitional phase of my life, right? Because I'm a fiancé. And that's a strange thing, right? Because if you think about it, you're single your whole life, right? Then you're a fiancé for a brief moment in time. And then you're a husband, right? If you think about it, it's a lot like the life of a caterpillar, right? Think about it, right? Caterpillar's out in the woods, squirming around, free, content, happy, right? And then he gets wrapped up in a friggin' cocoon of engagement where he gets cut off from the outside world. And all he can think and talk about are wedding cakes and dresses and flowers and who's gonna sit next to who at what friggin' table, right? And the pressure builds and builds and builds until he bursts out of the chapel, a brand new husband butterfly. Yeah. Yeah. Then his wife suffocates him, clips his wings, and pins him to a corkboard. So that's awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. Brand new chapter. And now the question, right? Immediately, when are you having kids? You gotta have kids. When are the kids? I don't know. I don't know when I'm having kids, okay? Kids freak me out. How about that? Yeah. They're always sick. I've never met a healthy kid, not once in my entire life. Always. And I love how parents are surprised when their toddlers are sick. Why? Have you seen the lifestyle of a kid? But it's the same thing every time. The parents are like, oh, honey, are you sick? Are you not feeling good? Well, what happened? What did you eat? I'm like, bitch, I saw that kid lick the floor at McDonald's 5 minutes ago. What did you think was gonna happen? I saw the same kid reach inside the wrong end of a pig. Of course he's gonna be sick. That's why I love it when people get disgusted when I let a dog lick my face. People are like, oh, it's gross. I can't believe, why would you do that? What, are you kidding me? Because dogs are way cleaner than kids, first of all, okay? Yeah, I would rather make out for 4 hours with an alley dog than kiss my nephew that just got out of the bathtub. Seriously. And I know what you're saying, that's disgusting, right? Why? Because dogs lick their genitalia. Okay, whatever, that's been well documented. But let me tell you something, all right? They keep those genitals tip-top, my friends. Yeah, spick and span. And if they can't clean their ass properly, they will drag that ass across the floor until it friggin' sparkles. I will take my chances with the dog, every time. So I live in LA now, and it's terrifying. It's like a new earthquake every week. And you know what I do? I just sit and wait to die. That's my strategy in an earthquake. Everybody's running around yelling at me, get in a doorway! Get in a doorway! I'm like, yeah, because how many aftermaths of an earthquake have you seen where it's just rubble and doorways? Just doorways as far as the eye can see with people huddled safely inside. Oh, hey, you guys made it too? Woo, right? Oh. Yeah, thank God for this barely reinforced frame of wood. How are we alive? Remember that 100-story building that used to be across the street? Now it's just 100 doorways stacked on top of each other. They need a ladder. And there's sharks in the water in LA. I never go in the water. My friends are like, come on, come in the water. Why not? Because I don't want to lose an arm on a Thursday. How about that? Like, sharks are the scariest animals on the planet, but I love that they weren't scary enough for Mother Nature, right? She had to combine them with other things. Like, hey, let's have sharks and tigers. Tiger sharks. That'll be fun. Hey, yeah, two of the scariest animals on the planet. Oh, that's awesome, right? Let's have swordfish. Sharks with swords on their faces. How about that? How about hammerhead sharks? Sharks with hammers for heads. So if they're not hungry, they can just shatter your kneecap so you can't surf anymore. That's awesome. Yeah, why don't we have crossbow sharks? Sharks with crossbows mounted on their fins so they can just shoot you on the beach. How about that? Stupid. I'm always getting lost in LA too. It's a giant place, right? always getting lost because I'm bad with directions, okay? So my fiance bought me a GPS. Turns out, I'm not bad with directions, I'm just an idiot. I can't even follow. Well, like, what do I need, a midget with a map sitting on my shoulder, you know? A unicorn pulling my car? I don't understand what my problem is. And I hate when you make a wrong turn with a GPS, right? It's the worst, right? Because the GPS does that whole recalculating. That is the most condescending voice I've ever heard in my entire life. How did they make it sound just like my fiance? That's what I want to know. Like, did she program that? It almost sighs beforehand. Like, you make a wrong turn and you just hear, wow, really? Okay, yeah. Guess what your new destination is? The ditch. Stupid. I feel like in like 5 years, there's going to be like a GPS device, but for everything, right? Like a little box on our hip and a little bud in our ear that just tells us what to do step by step through our entire lives, right? Like, especially like how to talk to your girlfriend, you know? Like, you come home and you're like, hey, honey, I'm home. And it's like, compliment her on her appearance. Oh, yeah, that's smart. Hey, you look really nice tonight, baby. Ask her about her day. Yep. Hey, how was your day? How did that go? Yeah. Compliment her on her appearance. I just did that. What are you kidding me? Hey, you fit in those pants again. Recalculating. What did I say? What? I don't understand. Anyway, I'm Jay Malone, Montreal. You guys have been absolutely awesome.
All right, the next guy is from Australia.
What'd you guys think? Weird. This is on tape, so answer me months later. Email me.
After the break.
Could you have guessed? I've come as the 70s.
Noel Fielding on Just for Laughs.
I'm ready now.
Like a reverse mohawk, man.
Wow. That's nice, man. Very hip looking.
Yeah, I like your new haircut too. Was that cologne or? Wow. I love the way you got the hairs to stick out straight, like look like rocket launchers, man.
That's my human. He's got me on a vegetarian diet.
Wow, vegetarian, huh?
Yeah, he's helped me get my shit together.
Yeah, well, it's together, man. It looks like cement.
The only trouble is, man.
What?
Ever since he got me on the diet, I gotta take a crap every 2 minutes. I gotta go now, man.
You gotta poop now?
Yeah. Hey, help me, okay?
Well, what do you want me to do?
And help me find some paper, man, because I gotta go real bad.
What, are you gonna read while you take a dump?
My human French, man. He taught me how to crap on paper, you know. Give me that Montreal Gazette there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go. Oh, look, it's a picture of Steve Harper.
All right.
Am I over?
Yeah, Parker? Yeah. Bombs away. Okay.
That?
Wow, it's like 3 rings, man.
Wow, still smoking, too.
Yeah. Oh, look at all the corn and nuts in there, too. What have you been eating?
Wow, looks like a Henry Moore sculpture from over here.
Yeah, God, Play-Doh, man. What's the matter?
I smell Fifi. Oh, it's Fifi. Oh. She's in heat, man.
Oh God. Gets me so horny, man.
No. Hey, knock it off.
I'm sorry, I don't know what got into me.
Yeah, well, I know what got into me.
Go ahead, get me back.
Get out of here.
Ralph, Ralph, Ralph.
What? Fifi. Oh, I see her. Hey, well, just ignore her. I'll back her into you.
Okay.
Hey, Fifi. Hey, parlez-vous, humma, humma? Hey, hey, how you doing, babe? Hey, all right. All right, gotta. All right.
Not me, Ralph.
All right, the next dude is from England, where he's written and performed on various shows on BBC.
Hey, I love the British language, man. So easy.
How many languages do you know?
I know British, Australian, American, a little bit of Canadian.
You're something Canadian.
No Newfoundland, though. I can't speak that.
Hey, take off, hose head. All right, please welcome one of the creators of the Mighty Boosh, the hilarious Noel Fielding. Noel!
Come on out here, Noel!
Ah, Montrealers, how you doing?
Woo! Yeah.
Loving it in Montreal. Montrealers, you call yourselves Montrealers? I can get with that. It's like a synchronized swimming team. It's cool. I just came from Toronto. Those people call themselves the Torontonians. I thought that was a little bit pretentious. I was quite scared. I thought, the Torontonians, it sounds quite sinister. The Torontonians. I thought, what is that? It's quite Shakespearean. What are these people? I was on the plane, I was imagining them. I thought, what are they, mythical creatures? I was expecting to get to Toronto and them to all come out of a forest with ram's legs. Oh, we are the Torontonians. Yes. For we have ram's legs. We are the Torontonians. One of them came out with a stuffed owl under his arm. And then it flew away. Yes, it wasn't stuffed. It was pretending to be stuffed. Mwah! We are the Torontonians. Oh, thank you. It's a real honour to do a gig with Cheech and Chong. I'm a huge fan, and, yeah. Could you have guessed? I've come as the 70s. I am psychedelia with legs. Imagine if I did the whole gig like this. You all had to read my thoughts. That way, if it was a shit gig, it'd be your own fault. But it's great. I love it. I'm sort of loving it in Montreal. And I love the thing. What I want to talk to you about, I haven't got long, but I want to talk to you about magic. When you're a little kid, everything seems magical, doesn't it? Everything's magical when you're a little child. You see through sort of eyes that can create things and make them enchanted. But when you get older, you sort of lose that. But there is one form of magic left in the adult world, and it's whispering. I'll tell you why. Whispering is the most brilliant form of magic. Because if you think about it, no one ever talks to you about whispering or tells you how it works, but you just seem to know the rules of whispering. It's brilliant. If someone says to you, "Oi, mate," no matter what you're doing, if you're over here, if someone says, "Oi, mate," you will always go, "What is it?" No matter what you're doing, you could be over here just dropping an atlas onto a swan, whatever it is you do. I've not really researched it, but if someone says, "Oi, mate," you will always go, "What is it?" And if they're quite a long way away, you can't even make a sound. You have to tiptoe towards them. You have to go, "What is it?" I mean, I suppose it makes sense, because it would be weird if someone went, "Oi, mate," and you went, "Yes, what is it? What is it that you're trying to obtain from me, my friend?" It wouldn't make sense, would it? Then the whispering police would come and arrest you. You'd be like, "What have I done? What have I done?" They'd go, "You know what you've done." But you can just say anything when you're whispering as well, and people listen. It's brilliant. "Oi, mate. Yeah, what is it?" "There's a dead gorilla at the ice rink." "No way. Dead gorilla at the ice rink." "Yeah, he's just lying there like that. Oh, wow, dead gorilla at the ice rink. Has he got skates on?" "Of course he's got skates on. It's an ice rink. He can't
can't go on there in his socks, can he? Wow. Dead gorilla at the ice rink. How are we going to get out of this joke?
I'll tell you why it's magical, though, whispering, because I was basically in... I live in London. Anyone been to London? Yeah. I used to live in quite a rough part of London, and there were a lot of gangs around there. We call them chavs, sort of little rude boys in hoods, like sort of little delinquents come out with little flick knives. They're always after... Basically, if you dress like this, you're a sitting target. I never used to get on with them. I can't imagine why. And I was coming home late one night from a gig, and I went across this sort of deserted car park, and I thought, I was pushing my luck, really, because I knew there were some gangs that hung out there. And as I was walking through, I thought, yeah, I've got away with this. But then right at the last minute, sort of one came out from behind a tree, and then another one came out from behind a car, and then one came down vertically. And then I opened my hand, and there was a tiny one in there, and he did a somersault and landed. One came out of my crown, and basically there was like this gang in front of me like that, and I thought, shit, I'm in trouble. And the leader was there, and he had definitely had a knife because he had his hand behind his back like that. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble now. But it was either that or he was going to do a card trick. That would have been better if he'd have come out and gone, four of clubs, and then ran off. That didn't happen. He had a knife, basically, and he got his knife out, and because he wanted my wallet, and I didn't have any money, so he was going to stab me, and he got his knife out like that, and it came down like that, and I really panicked. I thought, this is it. I'm too young to die. What's happening? And as it came down like that, right at the last minute, I went, oi, mate. And he went, what is it? Thanks a lot. You've got a great night.
He's like a drug test, man. If you got it, man, you're really messed up.
Okay, our next performer of the night.
He said, you want some? I was like, maybe.
Lavelle Crawford, coming up.
Our next comedian was the runner-up on Last Comic Standing.
He would have won the whole thing if it wasn't for the guy who came in first. I mean, that was, you know, how it works like that.
Returning to Just for Laughs, it's Lavelle Crawford.
Lavelle Crawford, come on out, bro.
Hey, what's happening? What's happening? Oh, man. I love Montreal. It's a beautiful state, and it's a good food state. I love the food up here, man. I had some poutine. I didn't even know what it was at first. I was like, what is poutine? He said, you want some? I was like, maybe. And come to find out, it's gravy over French fries with some cheese. Oh, my God. You know how long I dreamed of putting gravy on French fries and then cheese? Oh, but poutine don't come out easy. I was poutining all day. My mom wanted to come, you know, but she's a mom, and I'm a mama's boy, and she always got those threats. I don't know, all the mamas in the house always got these threats. You know, these threats they don't never do. They don't make no sense. Like, keep on running your mouth, and I'm gonna rip your lips off your face. You're like, when did you ever do that? Say one more thing to me. I'm gonna rip your arm off, beat you to death with it, and sew it back on. You don't have the medical capability to do such a thing. All right, boy, say one more thing to me. And I'm gonna rip all the skin off your back, rub sugar and salt in your back, bake you for 2 hours, and sell you as a honey-baked ham. I'm like, lady, you crazy. Call me crazy one more time. Call me crazy one more time, and I'm gonna kick your ass into your throat. Who have you ever done that to? Here come my sister. Oh, you don't want none of that. My food ain't taste the same since. And my mom, she, you know, I grew up in the 70s. That's old school, you know, back when, you know, before you needed Amber Alert. You wasn't getting, you know, Amber Alert, you know, you get abducted, they put your name up in lights. That wasn't going on when I was growing up. She gave me some vital information. She said, when you get off that bus at 4:30, I want you in that house, and I mean in that house, and I want you to lock that door. Don't you let nobody in that house till I get off work at 9 o'clock tonight. You got it? I'm like, I got it. Don't let nobody in your house till you get off work at 9 o'clock tonight. I got it. And when my mama say something, she meant it. And I get in that house, and I lock the door like Fort Knox. Man, like it's a vault. Go give me some chocolate milk and be watching my favorite cartoon, Thundercats. Thunder, thunder, Thundercats. Oh! I'll be drinking my chocolate milk. It's the greatest episode I ever seen in my life. And then all of a sudden, the doorbell ring, ding dong. I'm like, who could that be? I go to the door, who is it? Baby, it's your grandmama. Open the door and let grandmama in. I'm like, sorry, grandma. Mama said not to let nobody in the house. She meant nobody's house till she get off work at 9 o'clock at night. Baby, this your grandma. Now, I only got two buses to come over and see you. You can let grandmama in the house. I said, I love you too, grandma. But mama said not to let nobody in this house. And she meant nobody's house till she get off work at 9 o'clock tonight. You welcome to sit on the porch? Or you welcome to catch both them buses back to your house? But could you please excuse me? I got to get back to my Thundercats and my chocolate milk. I go back and sit down. Bing bong. What does she want now? I come back to the door. Who is it? Boy, this your daddy. Open this damn door and let me and your grandmama in the house right now. You got her out here sitting on this porch. You open this door right now. Sorry, daddy. Mama said not to let nobody in this house. She meant nobody's house until she get off work at 9 o'clock tonight. Boy, you know I live there. Apparently not. You don't have a key. I'm going to whoop your chunky ass when I get in that house. Well, that'll be around 9 o'clock tonight. Man, if Amber Alert was going on when I was growing up, my mother would use it as a scare tactic. She'd be like, see them kids' names and lights? Huh? You see them kids' names and lights? Keep messing up. And y'all names gonna be in lights, but guess what? I ain't looking for none of y'all. I'm like, damn, that's why I wish I had a white mama. White mama look for their kids. They be out there with the bloodhounds. Carol Ann, say something, honey. Roof. Carol Ann, say something, please. Roof. Make a bird noise. She loves birds. Not my mama. My mama, she'll make you so scared you don't even want to come out the wood. She like, nah, we've been calling your damn name for about 30, 40 minutes. You've been out in these damn woods. We got these bloodhounds out here. We got the police and the news out here making me look like an unfit mother. Let me tell you something. You better be dead. Because when you come out of the woods, I'm going to kill your ass. Now, I'm going to count to three. If you ain't out of the woods at the count of three, you live here. One. There he is. Let's go. You know, because black mamas real, you know, they don't play. They don't play. But all mamas get tired. Because when white mamas get fed up, oh, y'all get fed up. He like, I've had it up to here. I'm sick of your insubordination. You don't stay in time out. You don't eat your vegetables. You know what? I got an idea. You know what? I got an idea. Everybody, get in the car. We finna go for a ride down by the lake. And the kids be like, yay! We going for a ride down by the lake. Down by the lake. But my mama might not ever take us for a ride down by the lake. But she'll read that in the paper, and she'll use it as a scare tactic. She'll be like, ooh-wee, that mama got tired of them damn kids and took their ass for a ride down by the lake. Let me tell y'all something. Keep messing up, and I'm gonna take y'all ass for a ride down by the lake. I be in the background talking about, first of all, you gotta get a car. Because I don't think the bus driver going to let you take everybody on the bus for a ride down by the lake. I've been Lavelle Crawford. Thanks a lot.
audience. Give yourselves a hand. Okay.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Mexican Americans.
More Cheech and Chong after the break.
You know, everything's been funny. This is a really wonderful lineup of really funny comedians. And I was figuring it out today, we haven't been into Montreal in about 37 years. It's the last time we were here. So tonight, we'd like to do something very special for you. We only do this once a night. And we'd like to do something. It's a very serious song. It's a song of my people, and I hope you like it.
Mexican Americans don't like to just get into gang fights. They like flowers and music and white girls named Debbie, too. Mexican Americans love education, so they go to night school and they take Spanish. Mexican Americans don't like to get up early in the morning, but they have to, so they do it real slow. Mexican Americans love their nanas and their nonos and their ninas and their ninos. Nanu, nanu, nina, no, no.
But don't call them beaters.
Dress him up, but you can't take him out. That's the only thing. Where was I? Oh, yes, my people.
Mexican Americans are named Chata and Chela and Chema and Little Chema and have a son-in-law named Jeff. Mexican Americans don't like to go to the movies where the dude has to wear contact lenses to make his blue eyes brown, because don't it make my brown eyes blue?
Is it time for the races?
Mexican Americans live in Los Angeles, San Diego, San Antonio, San Francisco, and now all over Canada, vato. And it's just cold up there. Americans have been here forever, and we're gonna be here forever, and we only want what's fair. Mexican Americans, thank you, Canadians.
That's it for now. Thanks for joining us on Just for Laughs. Now the credits are gonna roll. We don't really expect you to stick around for this, but I have to. We'd appreciate it if you did. There's my name, woohoo! The fifth cameraman is hot. Okay, then, I'm done. Can I go now? Oh, for crying out loud, what now? What?